That was human meat.
Red. Go.
Will you come back to me?
You're not so fast. What are these?
Strange bull things.
Well, all right.
All right.
Welcome back to Strangeville Things and the first ever two-part episode because there's just too much cannibalism to fit.
In one episode.
I'm Acadia Einstein here with the delicious Jennifer Martinelli.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody else. Because fuck them. So, last week we talked about a lot of science with cannibalism, like, you know, nerdy scientist types of cannibalism, and we talked about the fact that there's survival cannibalism because there's nothing else to eat, and then there's
right,
learned cannibalism, you know, and that the Aztecs were dicks. And actually, little brief side note about the Aztecs, just a little bit of a callback, has nothing to do with cannibalism, but in order to make the Aztecs worse.
Oh, God.
So, you know how people tend to just, like, sweep a bunch of stuff into their heads into, like, oh, that was olden times. So, obviously, you know, you can't really hold people to account for what they did in, quote-unquote, olden times.
Right. It was, like, Everything goes in olden times.
Exactly. It's and everything was worse. Like, no one. I don't understand people that think there was ever good old days. There,
yeah, all the was old not days good.
Were worse.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how bad things are now, you think, oh, maybe you should go outside. Really? Well, maybe you shouldn't do any of the things people did in olden times because they were fucking horrible. So the Aztecs, who we learned were really. Just they really were dicks, and while Columbus and the rest of the people pillaging the new world might not, because it wasn't new to the people that were already there,
right.
Might not have been great, they weren't necessarily lying about the fact that the Aztecs were like crazy cannibal murderers and whatever like that, because turns out they were.
Right.
But now here's. But everybody, I'm completely prepared to sweep that into olden times. You know right. what I mean? Like, it's, yeah, whatever. You know, they were Aztecs. It was olden times. You can't go by what they did. Except right. that the Aztecs weren't a thing. Then they became a thing and they started, like, cooking people in big, cartoon kettles and shit like that.
Right.
Meanwhile, hundreds of years before that, Oxford University had already been founded.
Oh, gotcha.
So like, if you're going to go...
Not that olden times.
No, you can't go by that. But people went to college, you know? Those things don't go together. And right. Oxford's a terrible example because, like, that became a college in, like, the year 1000 or something ridiculous that.
So it's a little nuts.
And then they were like, yeah, but then we'll have the whole Dark Ages and whatever.
But you know.
Still, it's kind of fucked up that, like, in one part of the planet, somebody was getting cooked in a big pot, and another guy was going, oh, geez, I don't get Professor McGonagall this year. Like,
oh, Professor McGonagall.
Yep. So, we're not going back to Aztec land, although I do want to revisit them since they were such bastards. And now, I am sort of convinced that they played lacrosse with people's heads. That was learned cannibalism.
Right.
As in, we do this because it's part of our culture.
That's how we do, man.
That's how we do. And it is therefore accepted amongst the people in our group.
Right.
That's no fun because if everybody accepts it,
that's like My learned thing is I eat hamburgers. Nobody cares.
Yeah, no, it's not interesting. And, right. So we're going to go back into the things that people do care about. Human hamburgers. Exactly. And the world of pathological cannibalism.
Okay.
And pathological cannibalism is just like it sounds. Well, those people are fucking crazy.
Right.
And no good can come of it.
No.
And I guess depending on the situation, you might say, and I don't know really what your thoughts on this are, if somebody's, like we know in the news now, Dylann Roof, that the mass murderer that killed all those people in the white supremacist guy,
right.
They were like, yeah, you're not crazy, you're guilty. And that was the end of him.
Right.
Well...
Yeah, the thing I did the thing I didn't quite understand about that, I think it might be an important differentiation, is they were saying he wasn't too crazy to understand what was happening in the trial. I don't think they were saying that it's not crazy to shoot people, but I guess legally I'd have to like look into that more. But I remember specifically they said, the judge was like, oh, he understands what's happening in the trial. He understands, like, what's at stake. He understands, like, the goings-on, so he can stand trial. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, it's... I guess I would picture it as people that go off their meds, as it were. Like,
right.
If you're demonstrably crazy...
Right.
And then you don't take your medicine, whether it's on purpose...
Right.
Or by accident or whatever...
Right.
And then you go kill somebody... I mean, if people say, well, you know what, if you just start taking your medicine again, then you're going to be fine and you won't kill anyone.
Right.
That doesn't make those other people less dead.
Right.
So then it becomes a factor of, you know, how much of our system is punishment.
Right.
Because rehabilitation is not a factor. Like, it's take your medicine and you won't be crazy. So you don't have to worry about that. But you did kind of kill all the people in that diner, so you sort of have to go to jail.
Right.
And I guess that's not a thing we're going to decide today, because I don't think that there's a lot of people up in the air about the people that we're going to talk about today.
No, probably not.
Because they're fucking terrible. And I was going through it. Doing my research, being a nice little bookworm and everything like that, and
you no longer have an appetite. You never want to eat again.
I am not hungry. I do not want... I ate really terrible nachos at Walker Stalker, and...
That was your last meal?
Yep, and they are rumbling around, making themselves known.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep, no good. No... Yep. That's what my insides sound like.
That's what your insides are doing.
So this is like the perfect 1-2 punch. And so in order to immerse you,
oh yes,
Jen,
please do. Please
in
do.
Our journey of just what the fuck.
Right.
I've decided that I'm gonna take you through time.
Ooh. Like,
we did you know, we jumped off kind of at the Aztecs, but then we did some, you know, ocean going cannibal stuff, which brought us into the 20th century ish kind of thing. And now with the pathological people, I'm gonna stick with stuff that I know has been documented, and it goes into that wheelhouse of there's some stuff that was kind of old timey that we don't have great records on, but we're pretty solid.
Right.
Then into the like prime, oh, we know all of this.
Right.
Even though we wish we didn't. And then into the kind of so new that we probably don't have all the details because nobody's written a book about it yet, but
right.
There's just enough to make you ill. So,
oh, sounds great.
I'm trying to run the gamut for everybody because one fucking time I would like to make everyone happy in this show. This will not be it. So,
aww, so sad.
But we're going to start out with a lovely old lady.
Oh, yep. Good.
Her name is Leonardo Gianciulli.
Oh, Is she my people?
Yeah. She Sweet. Was known as the soap maker of a Correggio.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep. And she lived from April of 1894 until October of 1970.
Oh.
But in 1939, she learned that her oldest son, Giuseppe, was going to join the Italian army in preparation for World War II. Now, remember, they were the bad guys then.
Yes,
bad
correct.
Bad guys, bad Italy.
Bad.
Now, bad. Giuseppe was her a favorite and a child. And she didn't want him to go into the army and fight for Mussolini and be on Hitler's team or whatever. Maybe she did, but she wanted her... other, I don't know, whatever.
Maybe she was cool with Mussolini, but she didn't want her kid going to war. Who knows?
That's more than likely it, because right. really, at the end of the day, all that's kind of moot, because the decision she came to as far as how to remedy this situation was human sacrifices.
Oh, jeez, lady.
Yep.
That's
so
too bad.
It turned out that the Miss Gianciulli was my phone just fell because
you're so upset.
I just angered her.
you angered her ghost.
She was a fortune teller.
Oh boy.
And that's how she got people into her house.
For sacrificial purposes.
Yeah, well, the first person she got in there was a woman named Faustina Setti.
Oh,
a lifelong spinster who had come to her to find a man.
Oh, good lord.
And so our hero, Leonardo, told her that she knew of somebody, but don't tell anybody. Oh, and then she said, okay, well, this is what you're gonna do. Write letters and postcards to your friends. Oh, then God. Go see this guy in this like fucking faraway town.
Right.
This is how fucking smart and clever she was. Oh, yeah, I found you a husband. He lives in Niagara Falls, though. He's far away. Because this was like 1939 Italy. I'm sure that they, you know, it was like when you could just move to another town and say your name was Dave, and all of a sudden you were just gone and you were a new person.
Right.
So she said, well, you got to go to this other town to meet this guy. And so write a bunch of letters ahead of time. And I will send them to everybody to let them know you're fine once you get there.
I just have to interject for 1 second that one of my cousins had a baby and named her Faustina.
Ooh.
In
very Guinea-licious.
In June. Okay, carry on.
Okay. So she told poor Faustina,
mm-hmm.
found you a man in this other town, write a bunch of letters to all your friends and relatives saying that you went and found a man in this other town, but give them to me.
Oh, because I'll mail them for you.
And I'll mail them for you once you get there, which
Lord.
That's the part of these plans that seems to all fall apart. Like,
come on, Faustina.
Like, looking into the air with a bunch of fucking numbers spinning around her head, like, why don't I just write to them or whatever.
Like that meme with the woman with all the math equations?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, her. So when it came time for her to go, she went by to see Gianciulli one more time. And she said, let's have a glass of wine to celebrate. And if this had been us watching it in a movie, we would have been like, no!
No, don't do it!
She drank it.
God damn it.
It was drugged.
Oh, Faustina. Yeah.
And then she killed her with an axe.
Oh, that is brutal.
Dragged her body into a closet.
Oh, my God.
Cut it into 9 parts.
9?
Gathered the blood into a basin.
Oh, of course she did.
And then, in her own words...
Oh, God.
I threw the pieces into a pot.
Oh, God.
Added 7 kilos of a caustic soda, which I had a pot to make a soap. And stirred the mixture until the pieces dissolved in a thick, dark mush that I poured into several buckets and emptied into a nearby septic tank.
Oh.
As for the blood in the basin, I waited until it coagulated, dried it in the oven, ground it, and mixed it with flour, sugar, chocolate, milk, and eggs, as well as a bit of margarine. Kneading all the ingredients together, I made lots of crunchy tea cakes and served them to the ladies who came to visit, though Giuseppe and I also ate them.
Wow. That's the sound of Faustina's bones being chewed up.
Yep. And...
Herb or blood, sorry, whatever it was.
Yeah, well...
her crunchy cakes or whatever.
Oh, and in a last little fuck you to poor Faustina...
Yes.
She had paid the old bitch.
Oh,
her man.
Come on. Come on, that's not cool.
So, yepper. That's how
terrible.
That went down.
That's terrible.
Yep. And that was the first victim. Then.
That's not good.
Yep. The next one, Francesca Suavi.
Oh, no.
Which, by the way, my hey, look, it's me, Mario. Mother's accent is just really working out for me.
It's really, you're really nailing it there, guy.
Yeah. she went to the fortune teller needing a job.
For a job.
And she said, oh, I found you a job, but it's in a place far away.
Oh, God.
How about you write some letters to tell everybody where you went?
Come on.
Same exact story. Same thing happened.
God.
Gave her the wine, chopped her up.
Ugh.
Got the money.
Jesus.
So that's good.
That's great.
And then the final one was a Virginia Cacioppo.
Ugh.
But there's two P's, so it's Cacioppo. I don't know.
No, it's just Cacioppo. You don't pronounce the P's twice.
Too many consonants. That's what you've got.
Okay, let's just relax. Let's just watch it, buddy.
She was she needed a job, and the crafty old bitch told her that she found her a job in Florence, but don't tell anybody. Again, and
once again, I found you a job in Florence. Don't tell anyone. I'll take care of notifying everybody for you.
Yep, but write a bunch of.
Have some wine.
Yeah. And then here, have this wine. Except this one was a little different.
Oh, God. Why?
She ended up in the pot like the other two.
Yeah.
The flesh was a fat and a white. Oh, God. When it had melted, I added a bottle of cologne. And after a long time on the boil, I was able to make some most acceptable a creamy soap. I gave bath to neighbors and acquaintances. The cakes, too, were better. That woman was a really sweet.
Oh, my God. Come on. Where was she writing this down?
She wrote it. There was a book.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry if you already told me there was a book. This is very disturbing.
No, I didn't tell you there was a book. It was her memoir called An Embittered Soul's Confessions.
No.
Crazy old bitch.
No. Were you serious?
Yeah.
No.
Read it.
Oh, Jesus.
It's good. It's your heritage.
This is my people.
This is...
Well, maybe all these fucking assholes online should watch themselves, lest I cut them up, boil them in a pot, and make them into soap and cookies that I serve their friends. After I make them write letters telling them they're going away, mysteriously.
You know what? You're so annoying right now with all your dumb chores that... Like, I would totally believe that, because I'd be like, oh, when are we going to record? I can't! I'm making soap!
Good.
Ugh.
Good. But soap from your bones.
Because from the last one that she made into soap, she got a 50,000 lira and some jewels.
50,000 lira is like 10 cents.
Yeah, but in olden times, it was probably like a dollar.
Ooh, a dollar. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Good luck. Good job, lady.
So that was our little palate cleanser.
That was our palate cleanser.
Yeah, that was. She just wanted to keep her son out of the army and make a little scratch on the side.
Yeah. So wait, I lost track of that. How was this keeping her son out of the army?
Yeah, I don't know. She was a fortune teller. Obviously, she was not smart.
She was like, I don't want my son to go into the army. I'll kill some people and boil their bones.
Yeah. Well, you know. Ouija board.
What did she do with the... Did she, like... Aren't you supposed to do some kind of ritual or something?
I don't know.
Does she have, like, an altar where she dumps some of the blood?
Maybe it was a life hack. Hey, if you're supposed to be doing a black magic ritual, why not also make some soap?
Oh, maybe it was a life hack.
Hoo-ah!
Oh, good job. What was her first name again?
Her name was... A Leonardo Cianciulli.
Oh, a Leonardo. Good life hack.
Yep, that was a good life hack. And it was a good life hack that you performed on those other people as you hacked their life into pieces
That's
and
right.
That's ate right. them. That and fed them to your kids.
Was human meat.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. Mama, these meatballs, they're so good.
I don't know. What do you say about meatballs when they're made with human beings? They're so rich and flavorful. Jesus Christ.
Familia.
Oh, God.
And she was probably like, it's a family recipe.
Probably, right? Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus.
The Salavi family.
Oh, God.
So, I am... I'm going to go into a brief little foray into this other personality, a person that we're going to end up doing a show on, because I was thinking about it, and I know that some people, like, we've gotten some feedback of people that like true crime and some that don't like true crime, and
right.
and some that didn't like hearing that person get murdered.
The special Halloween episode.
Yeah, the special Halloween where the person actually did get murdered and whatever. Right. I can't.
We can't make all the people happy all of the time.
Exactly.
So we're going to do a bunch of different stuff, right?
So, yes. So we'll make segments of everybody unhappy.
That's right.
Most of the time.
At various times.
Yes. So,
exactly.
So instead, I'm going to make sure that we touch on little things, and then hopefully we'll get some feedback from some people. Because there's a lot of things, especially in this episode, that should be their own episodes.
And right.
this fucking guy that I'm about to describe is definitely, most definitely one of them.
Oh, boy.
His name was Hamilton Howard Albert Fish.
Oh, God. That's really
Albert
something.
Fish lived from 1870 to 1936. And he was fucking terrible.
Sounds like a neat guy.
His nick, the names he had been given, among them were the Gray Man, the Werewolf of Wisteria,
Jesus.
The Brooklyn Vampire, the Moon Maniac, and the straight up Boogeyman.
The Moon Maniac?
Yep, the Moon Maniac.
Jesus, this guy sounds neat.
Yep.
Sounds like a real treat.
He was a child rapist and a cannibal.
Oh, God.
After he was caught, he said that he had, quote, had children in every state.
Oh, God.
At one time saying the number was over 100, except that at the time, they didn't know whether he was lying or whether he was talking about 100 rapes or 100
murders or cannibalizing isms
or both cannibalings.
Oh,
and
God.
He had confessed to three things that they were able to trace to known homicides. He had confessed to other shit, and the final one, not only did he everything about this fucking guy, and it was all the time. So of course he was married and he had kids and shit like that, and he was so fucked up. Like,
right. He sounds
like
pretty
one
fucked
of the
up.
Games, he was a complete masochist. Like,
oh, Jesus.
He would shove pins in his own nutsack and
oh, come
stuff
on.
Like that. And one of the games that he would play, quote unquote, play with his stepkids was, hey, why don't you, like, jump on me and drag your fingernails down my back as hard as you can? Because that's a fun game. And
oh, that kind of come on.
So that's.
That's not okay.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't at all. But
that's definitely an episode of SVU.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And it was in New York, so it could have just been old-timey SVU.
Oh, God.
So the reason that he's on this list is because of the cannibalism part. And his most, I'm going to say well-documented, because I don't like saying famous in this context.
Right.
But,
right.
I mean, it is famous, but... You know, that's not really the point of it.
Right.
That he kidnapped and murdered a little girl named Grace Budd.
Okay.
And he said to his attorney, it had, quote, never even entered his head to rape her.
Okay.
But apparently while kneeling on her chest and strangling her, he had two involuntary ejaculations.
Oh, come on.
And the reason that here's how bad your case is.
Oh, God.
The reason that that got entered into evidence was because the lawyer thought it was a better idea to make the crime sexual so that he did not have to bring in any of the parts about how he ate her.
Oh, my God. Come on, dude.
So that was good.
Oh. And that's not good at all.
No, it's not. That's however.
Not good.
However, it does have a little bit of a thread into our next case, which is someone that I'm sure that you have maybe heard of before. Andre Chikatilo, who is considered one of the most prolific serial killers of all time. He was in Russia, and he did most of his killing, actually all of his killing, between 1978 and 1990. So it was when it was the Soviet Union, not, you know.
Right. Russia.
Not new Russia, you know, where it was just Yeltsin and Putin.
Right.
He was not a good guy.
Of course he wasn't.
But there was an interesting, I thought it was interesting. This ties back to last episode when we were talking about Stalingrad.
Right.
Throughout his childhood, Chikatilo had been repeatedly told by his mother that before his birth, his older brother named Stepan had been kidnapped and cannibalized by starving neighbors.
Oh my God.
Now,
come on.
No one ever verified whether that was true, whether he even had a brother named Stepan or anything like that. But as we know from last week, that totally happened in Russia during World War II.
Right. Oh God, right. Ugh.
So
could be.
Yeah, when serial killers start, like, I don't know of any case where a serial killer just, well, you know what, he was fine, and then he watched a movie, and then he became a serial killer. Right. There always seems to be some stuff that happens, you know,
right,
in the run-up.
Right.
And so one of the things that happened to Chikatilo was that from puberty, he had chronic impotence. And so he was not in good shape from the fucking jump, basically.
Right.
You know, and so he had, like, he liked girls, you know, he had a crush on this girl, but he was always fucking nervous, and he never asked her out or anything like that, and he couldn't get it up, and he was just, you know, basically, it's the worst fucking case scenario for any kid, but also if, you know, your mother fucking taught you that your
brother got brother eaten by got your neighbors eaten
and shit like that, turned out, yep, he was just, I guess, playing around when he was 17, he was, I don't know the exact context of it, but he jumped on his younger sister's friend who was 11 and was, like, wrestling with her.
Yeah.
And she was 11, he was 17.
Oh,
and
God.
Apparently, in whatever the context was, as she was struggling to get away from him, he came in his pants.
Oh.
So then if that's the only way he could find out that he could get off, that does not paint a pretty picture for the future.
No, that's not a good setup. That's a problem.
Yeah. So he ended up killing, I think, 52 people.
Oh, Jesus.
At least.
Come on.
Women and children. He gouged out, for the most part, he gouged out the eyes of his victims.
While they were alive? Or we don't know.
In every case,
Jesus.
Read that his adult female victims were often prostitutes or homeless women. He would lure them into secluded areas with promises of booze or money. He would always try to fuck them and never could, or rarely could. So since he couldn't, then he'd get mad. And if the woman like made fun of him, he would then start stabbing him. And then he'd get all hard and say,
gross.
How do you like me now? And so he was really, and this is the kind of piece where if you were just, if you found out, I just went to the doctor and he found out the only way I can get a hard on is if I'm choking somebody.
Right.
If you came home and said that, people would be like, okay, well, number one, stay away from me. And number two, hopefully there are pills for you, because otherwise you're going to have to move to a place where there are no people.
Right. Right.
I don't think the prescription would be, I'm going to try to bang a bunch of chicks because I pretty much know that it's not going to work. And then I'm going to get really mad and kill them so that I can.
Right.
Yeah. That doesn't.
That's not how it should go, buddy.
No. So, he would only achieve orgasm when he stabbed and slashed his victims to death.
Come on.
His child and adolescent victims were both boys and girls. He would lure them into secluded areas in the standard, you know...
in the typical ways.
I'll help you with something, or I'll show you a shortcut. In a weird rush of must have really sucked, you want to see my rare stamps and coins? Like,
I
don't know whether that means that, like, Russia was really awesome, that you could lure a kid into the woods with fucking stamps and coins, or how fucking sad it is, because he also did say candy.
Right.
But I don't know where he went, this must be candy girl, and that one stamp boy.
Like, yeah,
How
do you do that? How do you come to that conclusion?
Yeah, and then he would tie their hands behind their backs and fill their mouths up with dirt and mud so they couldn't scream, and then he'd kill them and blow his load. And...
Well, wait, did he eat them?
I was just... Oh, funny sorry. You should say that.
Funny you should ask.
Why is he even in this show?
Yes.
Well, he said that he often tasted the blood of his victims. And when he did, he, quote, felt chills and shook all over.
Oh, God.
He confessed to tearing at victims' genitalia, lips, nipples, and tongues with his teeth.
Ugh.
In a couple instances, he would cut or bite off the tongue, not to be confused with the celebrity tongue section of superficialgallery.com.
No.
If you're going there to think about chopping off... Yes, that, then you just stay away. I do not want your traffic.
We don't want your patronage. No.
Exactly. But, yeah, he would bite off their tongue or cut it out, and then he would have it while he was stabbing them and shit. And then right when they died or right after they died, he would run around their body and hold the tongue up in his hand. And
Why?
I don't know. That would have been my follow-up question had I been interviewing these.
Oh, God.
He also said that he had chewed upon the excised uterus of his female victims.
Come on.
And the testicles of his male victims. But later threw those pots away and... But
threw them away how? Just like toss them in the woods?
I guess. But he did confess a couple times... I did swallow nipples.
Oh my God. I need to do this. Like,
is that a purging thing for you?
Yeah, I just needed to make some Law and Order sounds.
He swallowed nipples.
Oh God.
Like, as we found out last week, biting that stuff off is not easy.
Apparently not.
Your shit's attached to you. Like,
did he cut it? Maybe he cut it off, and then he said he tore at it with his teeth, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus Christ. Ugh.
And our teeth aren't meant for that. That's not how not. We're made.
We are omnivores. We are That's omnivores. Right. We are not.
We eat dodge omnis.
Well, yeah. A lot of people go human beings are carnivores. No, we're not. No, we're not. Yeah. Do we have wolf teeth? No. We're omnivores. That means we eat both things. We're not carnivores. We don't have flesh-tearing teeth in the front of our mouth. Well, apparently.
He is small Russian childivore.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
This guy's got a lot of problems.
We got that going. Well, his biggest problem now is that he's dead.
Well, okay.
Because he got caught, and then he got convicted, and then he had an appeal. And in a thing that always made me grudgingly respect the Russians, even though now they run our country.
Please.
After his appeal, like, have you ever seen in a Russian jail, like, they have this crazy, like, there's a cage in the courtroom, and the accused person sits inside the cage?
I've seen shit in movies. I don't know if it's real.
It's 100% real.
That's pretty great.
It's like kind of Hell in a Cell, WWE, but there's nobody else in there.
Right.
So he got convicted, and he's like screaming and drooling and spitting at everybody because he was a fucking not cannibal.
That's crazy.
And then they just took him out behind the courthouse and shot him in the head.
Oh, they're just like, okay, we're all done here, buddy.
Like, oh yes, the appeal process over. Now time to shoot you.
I wish I had a gunshot sound. Like,
all right, well, there's no sense fucking around with it then, I guess.
Right, like, what are you going to mess around for? Just take care of it.
In that one little sliver of...
up away. We're down with it. You know that, I don't know if you... Do you watch that show, The Americans?
I never have, but I know it exists.
Well, it's really good. So I'm not really going to ruin anything by telling you that there's a scene where they shoot somebody in Russian prison. But there's, like, someone who's supposed to be... who they're pretending is going to be getting released or having some kind of meeting in, like, the gulag or whatever. They take this person out, like, you know, out of their cell, out into, like, the hall, and they're like, okay, just hold on a second, you know, like, getting some paperwork here or whatever the one guy is saying. And then somebody else just stands behind the person and just shoots him in the head. And then they just, like, wrap him up in some burlap and, like, they drag him away, and that's that.
Well, see?
See? That's very economical.
That's efficient.
Right?
That's what you get when your country is worthless. You're wasting time on courts and shit.
Yeah. We don't have time for this. Ain't nobody got time for that.
So, yeah, so he's dead. So you don't have to worry about him biting
off your boobs. Well, great. Well, thanks. Here's what I won't be doing, just FYI. Not that I was ever going to, but now after these shows, I'm not helping anybody. I'm not going into the woods. I'm not assisting any suspicious gentleman with some kind of task.
Come in the woods and look at my stamps.
Yeah, don't think so.
Oh, you bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Why, so you can strangle me, you fucking perv?
Want to
and
see
then
me get the-
chew on my tongue? Ah. Ugh. God damn it. Ugh.
My
I know. Do you want to see my stamps? No. No, I don't.
Not only did they get murdered, they got murdered for the fucking lamest reason.
I know. Looking at stamps in the woods in Russia.
Oh, God.
Awful.
Damn. No chance from the beginning.
Nope. No chance. No chance.
There was one guy, he was from the late 19th century, and I didn't mention him before, but then I wanted to bring him back up just because I thought it was funny.
Oh, boy.
It was a guy named Alfred. Mm-hmm. Alfred Packer. Mm-hmm. And he was a prospector.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1874, him and his, like, five other people... ended up having to go off to prospect for gold.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the only one that came back. And they were like,
oh, interesting. Hmm.
Where what happened to all those people? And he was like, oh, I had to eat them.
Oh my God.
And they attacked me and I had to murder them. And then I had to eat them because it snowed basically. And it was all a bunch of crap. Like, he didn't need to kill them at all, and he certainly didn't need to eat them, but he did anyway.
Oh, God. There's your snowstorm. This sounds like Dyatlov Pass.
Yeah, pretty much. But then, in a weird case of American justice...
Right.
he was given a 40-year sentence. And then later on, he got paroled because some people thought, well, maybe he did have to kill him and eat him.
Oh, right.
Could so be. That's kind of all up in the air.
Oh, boy.
But the reason that he got into this at all is because there was not any doubt about the fact that he did, in fact, eat them.
Right. No, but nobody was doubting that part.
Yeah. No. So, well, just in case anybody was.
No, just FYI.
Get out of your hand.
Nope.
So, now, I could talk about Jeffrey Dahmer, but I'm not going to talk about Jeffrey Dahmer. And here's why I'm not going to talk about Jeffrey Dahmer.
Why?
Because unless and until we can bring something new to the Jeffrey Dahmer story.
Yeah.
If there's anybody that doesn't know anything about Jeffrey Dahmer, as a matter of fact, I'm going to put this out there to the audience right now. If you want us to do Jeffrey Dahmer, then we're either going to do it whole fucking hog, like school book report from when he started pissing his bed or whatever he did when he was a kid to when he ended up getting killed in prison, or he's
Know that, by the way.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Yeah.
Apparently he fell off my radar after he got thrown in jail.
Yeah, he got killed in prison. Didn't take very long either.
Oh, I just looked it up. 1994.
Yeah. The thing that I find the spookiest about him is, so he was a cannibal and he drilled holes in people's heads to try and make them his sex slaves.
Jesus Christ.
And there's the whole undercurrent of gay subculture that people just didn't want to hear that one of his victims actually escaped after he had been attacked, ran down the street naked. The cops found him, brought him back to Dahmer's apartment, and Dahmer was like, yeah, sorry, my boyfriend got a little out of control. And they were just so didn't want to have anything to do with the gays that they just gave him back.
What?
Yeah. Well, maybe we need to do a Jeffrey Dahmer.
Maybe we do, because I don't know. Oh, my God.
So yeah, like it's a rich tapestry is the story of Jeff. The thing is the other thing that I always found fascinating about Jeffrey Dahmer is that he didn't have any illusions as to what he was or anything like that. He was just like, nah, it's fucked up. Like,
right?
He would have been the kind of person that we probably would have learned a lot about had we been able to study his brain and shit, you know, and I guess I have to assume that would matter.
Right.
You know, maybe it wouldn't, but I'd like to think it would. I'd like to think that there's some kind of benefit you can get out of these people.
Right.
But yeah, he ate his people too, and they found heads in his fridge and shit like that. Cause he like, but there's a videotape of him.
Oh God.
No, not that kind of video.
Okay.
It's actually his family. He worked at a chocolate factory.
Shut up.
I'm still talking. He worked at a chocolate factory. Anyway, this is the thing that terrifies me the most about it.
Okay.
He's sitting there and he's just talking to his parents and they happen to be filming him and they're like, "Well, what's going on?" everything like that. And he's like, "You know what?" He's like, "I really got to start I got to stop eating out so much. I really got to start cooking. It's going to save me so much money. It's going to be better."
Oh my God.
The same conversation that every single person has at least once a year.
Oh, my God.
With their family or their... You know what I mean? Like, everybody has that. I got to stop eating out so much. It's bad for me. It's costing me all this money, you know?
Ugh.
So, and he was a serial killer. So, there's that. I'm just waiting for your groan. I know it's in there. I know it's going to come out.
I can't with Jeffrey Dahmer.
He's a rich tapestry. There's so much you don't know.
So I Googled him when you said this, and because I wanted to say, and I couldn't remember some of the details, but I moved to Ohio in 1991, which is like about when he got caught. Mm-hmm. And everybody in my stupid town was all freaked. He wasn't from my town, but he had lived. He went to Logan, Ohio State, and he lived in various places in Ohio. I can't even find the name of a town. But everybody was so freaked out that he was from Ohio. Yeah. He was born in Milwaukee or something, but I guess because he lived in Ohio for a while. Like, I just associate it weirdly with Ohio. Like, just because he lived there. I mean, it happened there, but, like, it doesn't matter. But I guess, I don't know. It creeps me out.
I guess what you're trying to say is that you're a murderer.
Yeah, I'm probably a murderer.
Yeah.
Yep.
I understand.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry? So, you should be sorry, or I'll make you sorry.
Yeah, oh. So.
That'll learn ya.
Yeah. Ugh. So that was, that's why I'm not going to go any deeper into death.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a few, I guess we'll call them quick hits.
Okay.
That will, are we all right time-wise?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I'm going to go into one other story that just fucking really threw me.
Oh God.
And it touches another thing that I want us to be able to talk about on the show.
Okay.
Not this particular episode, but on the show in general.
Okay.
So yeah.
Oh, God.
Let's talk about in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
Fishermen found in the Yellowstone River in Montana, a torso.
Oh, God. Come on. Just a torso? Was there a head attached, or is this just the body? Just a
torso.
No arms and no head.
Nope, just a torso.
Oh, God damn it. Okay.
Which made me think, you know what? I don't really feel good about my torso right now, so if I was going to get murdered, I would not want that to be the part of me that they found. My arms are pretty good. I have really nice legs. Torso's not so great at the mo.
Well, I definitely don't want anybody fighting my torso because who knows what creepy shit they do with my boobs, so.
Oh, that's true.
No, please, any future murderers, don't leave my torso in a river. Thanks. I would appreciate it.
Bring it home with you.
Oh, God. Oh, don't do that either. Don't do that either.
When you start negotiating with your murderers, you're bound to lose.
Just, you're.
Waka waka.
Oh, God.
All right. Yeah, quick on the draw with that one.
I know.
So, they had a torso that didn't have a head or anything like that.
Oh, Jesus.
And, then 2 days later,
mm-hmm.
two guys trying to flee from a car accident near Big Sur, California.
Oh, God.
They weren't driving their car. They were driving the car of 22-year-old social worker James Schlosser.
Whose torso, I assume, was in the river?
Yepper.
Oh.
So, according to the perpetrators.
Mm-hmm.
They got high on LSD.
Of course they did.
They were hitchhiking. This was 1970, so hitchhiking
right,
was
so cool. Primo time for all of that.
He, of course, picked them up, because why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
70.
You always pick people up in your car in 1970.
Here's why.
Totes.
Here's why you don't.
Because later, your torso was in a river.
Yep, because they shot him, and they cut open his chest and ate his heart raw.
Oh, God.
I don't know why the raw part makes it worse or better.
I think because the idea is, like, you just yanked the, like, it was just beating a second ago, and now you're just sticking it in your mouth.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's worse.
Oh,
although, taking the time to get some shallots and whatnot.
Yeah, well that's also disturbing.
They probably were like rustic. They were like, oh, let's get some root vegetables in here. Right, well,
maybe they could throw them in a hot spring, except we...
Oh, then it would have been like...
We learned you can't do that.
Meat kind of fondue.
Then it would just, they'd just pull out bones.
Ooh, that's true. Like a cartoon. Like that poor dummy.
The poor dummy who dissolved himself.
So, they chopped him up into six pieces and... good for them. The only one that got found was the torso. Otherwise, they would have gotten away with it.
Aww.
Apparently, the smaller pots. And actually, that makes sense. Two arms, two legs, a head, and the torso.
Yeah, there you go. There's the pieces.
That's how I do it. I well, wouldn't be obviously. Trying to cut somebody's torso in half. That's way too much work.
Oh, no, that's really hard. You got a lot of stuff in the middle there to hack through.
That's how they killed the Black Dahlia. They went right through her torso. Like, they double whammied her.
The Black Dahlia.
Yeah, oh yeah, she got murdered in Los Angeles. She's a very, very famous murder victim. You really? Really didn't know what you were getting into when you agreed to do this show, did you?
Well, I really apparently didn't follow a lot of true crime murder stories, I guess.
You don't know how many you realize that there are still more people dead than there are alive, I assume.
I do realize that.
We might be catching up, but I don't think it's even yet.
Yeah, I do. I am aware of that.
So, yeah, that's that was that. So get high on LSD, eat a guy's hot, and then caught.
Why wouldn't you?
Because you got in a car accident.
Right.
But
well,
really,
why
what
you?
Happened here was bad driving.
That's so. Be careful when you're driving, kids.
That's right.
Because otherwise, you'll get your heart eaten by cannibals. Apparently.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's bad. So now we're going to talk a little bit about a cult.
Ooh.
Because in a little while, we're going to talk more about a cult.
Wow.
And cults, I was at Walker Stalker today.
Yes.
And one of the people that I saw was Gus from Breaking Bad. He did a panel with the guy who played Walt Jr.
Oh, Gus. Yeah. Okay. Oh, nice.
RJ Mitty.
Nice.
Who, honestly, and this is a little bit of an aside, so whatever, Strangeful Things fans, the Breaking Bad was a good show, and it was a zombie convention, so it counts. I didn't know whether that actor really had cerebral palsy or he didn't, and I'm pretty sure he does. He was not as physically handicapped as he played on the show, but his voice definitely had the, you know, that it was affected by it. But the reason I even bring it up is because
I love that guy, by the way. I love that kid. He was great.
Yeah, he's it was a good panel, and I actually got I shot some video of one of his answers, so I'll put that up somewhere for people can see it.
Nice. Anyway.
But Gus, like, just right near the end of it, just started talking about this, like, self-empowerment, crazy, sort of a half rampage, half inspirational thing.
Oh, boy.
And, like, he was fired up, jumping around, you know, going back and forth on the stage, pointing at people. Pointing at one of the guys dressed up in zombie makeup, saying, you know, you're expressing yourself, and this, and I'm like, this guy just started a cult, and I'm going to join it, because I was all excited. Hoo-ah! He just, but the power of his charisma, coupled with the stuff that he was saying, coupled with the fact that I was full of disgusting nachos,
oh, God.
And we had gotten this soda made of pure cane sugar.
Oof, oof.
And I had had like three of them, so my teeth are actually falling out as we're talking.
They've been falling out during the show. Yeah, I could hear them falling out.
Because I never fucking drink sugar soda.
No.
And this was just
sugar. I rarely do. Oh, God.
So, yeah, it was a perfect storm of me now being in that guy's cult. So.
Or is it? Maybe it should be a happy sound.
Oh, that is true.
I don't have a happy sound.
No, there's no happy sounds in this land. So, there was another sort of. I'll just read it. This is from a List First post.
Okay.
In the summer of 1970, California was still reeling from the unsolved ritualistic Tate LaBianca murders that happened on August 9th and 10th, 1969 in Los Angeles, which we know was done by the Manson family.
Right.
So when two brutal murders happened in Orange County on the nights of June 2nd and 3rd, 1970, a panic arose in the area.
Right.
Now, we know that the Manson family was responsible for the Tate-LaBianca murders, but it turned out that the Orange County murders a year later were committed by a completely different group, a satanic cult led by 20-year-old Stephen Hurd, a barbiturate addict and drifter.
Come on.
Hurd's disciples were other young street people, Christopher Gibney and Herman Taylor, both 17, and 16-year-old Arthur Moose Hulse. At first, the cult started off sacrificing small animals, but it soon decided that it was, quote, permissible to start killing humans. Now, to be fair, you're a 20-year-old hanging around with two 17-year-olds and a 16-year-old, you're not a cult. You're a fucking dink loser who doesn't have any friends.
Right.
And the only people that you could get to hang around with you were fucking dirty hippie kids that decided that Satan was the coolest.
Ugh.
And I don't think Satan would even want them on his team.
No, Satan would be like, you guys are so lame.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Basic bitches.
Basic bitches.
At some point in early June, Hurd decided that he wanted to go to San Francisco to personally meet with the head of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey.
Oh,
to get money
God.
For the trip, Hurd and Hulse went to a gas station in Santa Ana in the early mornings of June 2nd, in the early morning hours of June 2nd. At the gas station, they found 20-year-old Jerry Carlin working the graveyard shift.
Sorry, again, Jerry.
Right next to hitchhiking. Things to not do.
Yeah, true.
They got him into the bathroom where they hacked him up with a Boy Scout hatchet.
Oh, my God. Come on.
And then they licked all the blood off the hatchet.
Oh, come on. Come on.
And they
Why?
So, but at least they had some traveling loot.
What traveling loot?
So they were like,
loot?
All right, let's...
The
hey,
body?
Gang, let's all get in the jalopy and go meet the head of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey.
Oh my God.
Except that they didn't have a jalopy, or they did and it broke down, so they carjacked a car driven by 31-year-old school teacher and mother of five named Florence Nancy Brown.
Oh, Florence.
Who,
I'm sorry.
If she was 31 and she had already squirted out five kids, was probably pretty tired. It all got worse because they drove her to an orange grove, stabbed her 21 times, and apparently ate some of her body.
Oh, come on.
Now, Hurd would later tell a psychiatrist that he went back to the grave that they dug, ripped out her heart and ate it and said it tasted like chicken, but that just seems like bullshit.
That is bullshit. Organs don't taste like chicken meat. They taste like organs. Organ meat tastes different. Sorry. Liar.
That said...
Did he actually eat her heart?
12 days later...
Oh, God.
When authorities found her in the shallow-ass grave. And that's another piece. I'll get to that.
Oh, God.
Strips of flesh were missing from her right arm and her right leg. Her right arm was severed, and her heart and lungs were missing. So, whatever they did with them...
They weren't
Whether
there.
Whether they ate them or not, they definitely just didn't leave them in the box with the rest of the parts of the poor woman.
Jesus Christ. Come on.
So.
Come on.
Is that.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of cannibals. I've decided.
Yeah, no, they're not good.
They're not cool with me.
Shallow graves?
Dumb.
Yeah.
Lazy.
You know I used to dig graves, right?
Yes. Lazy.
Okay.
Lazy cannibals.
Did I tell you about how, as a result of me digging graves, I know the perfect way to hide a body?
Maybe you did.
Well, I'll just put that out there for everybody one more time.
Just letting you know.
And my friend's brother was the one that actually, like, articulated it properly, but he's dead on right. At least in the state of Maine, it is a law that you can't just shove somebody's formaldehyde corpse into the... fucking ground and let it drain into everybody's water. Right. You have to have a concrete vault. The vault weighs a ton and the cover weighs a ton.
Oh my God.
Now, those are supposedly designed to keep all your fucking nasty juices in the vault, but since there's nothing stronger than the power of the frozen fucking earth, they all eventually crack and leak, so it's all bullshit. But, doesn't mean it's not a law. Now,
Oh God.
Depending on how early the graveside service is going to be, if you look in the news, say you killed somebody and you're like, what the fuck am I going to do? I'm stuck with this body. I don't know what to do. I don't have a sink. I don't have any of the places that I learn on Strangeful Things that I can put bodies.
Right.
What am I going to do with this thing? Look in the paper. Find like an 8 o'clock service where it's like super early. Now, generally, they're not going to be that early.
Right.
You know, they won't get to the grave, particularly in a Catholic cemetery. They're not going to get to the grave at 8 a.m. The mass will be at 8. They'll probably get to the grave at 9.
Right.
But the point of it is that it's got to be early in the morning because generally the grave diggers will dig that hole the night before.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So what happens is you dig the grave.
I think you did tell me this before.
Yeah.
Go ahead anyway. The
company comes.
Yeah.
And
pours concrete in?
No, it's a big...
Oh, they literally...
It's a big physical box they lower into the grave with a crane.
Okay. I thought maybe like the hole was a shape and they like fill it with concrete. That doesn't make sense. Continue.
But it kind of would be like that. It's like a coffin that the coffin goes in. So, if you get there ahead of time and you dig down, even if it is shallow, even if you dig down like 2 or 3 feet, shove your body in the bottom of the grave,
and then throw some dirt on top,
hide the dirt. There's a big pile of dirt next to the grave anyway, so there's not going to be any issue hiding the dirt.
Right.
The guy that comes and puts the vault in,
he's
using a crane. He's not getting in there looking around.
Right.
He's going to put a one-ton fucking vault on there that's then going to have a body put in it, that's then going to have a one-ton cover put on it, that's then going to get filled with dirt, and nobody's going to look for a body in a cemetery.
Right.
No one's going to find that fucker.
Oh, my God.
So, thank you, Mafia. If you still exist, now you know where to hide all your bodies, and if you were smart,
you're welcome. You're welcome, Mafia.
Oh, yeah, they should have said you're welcome. I should have said you're welcome. Sorry. Yeah, whatever. You're welcome, Mafia. Give me money. Because now, if you're really smart, mobsters would own cemeteries because they would be able to do this.
Right. Oh, my God. Well, I'm never eating again, and I'm probably never sleeping, going out in public or talking to a stranger.
So, well, I'm gonna wipe a couple other things off your list.
Oh, Jesus!
Before we go.
Oh my God. Okay.
We all right for time?
We're getting there. We're getting close. We're at about an hour.
All right. Then let me give you a choice.
Okay.
No, you don't get a choice on that one.
Oh, okay. Great.
Let's see.
Stop taking away my choices.
I'm gonna give you. Here's. Don't. Let young people have friends.
Sure.
I try not to fall into the physical attractiveness of a person determines their worth as a victim.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
The fact that JonBenet Ramsey was a cute little kid who got murdered.
Right.
Does not make her like more tragic,
a more worthy victim than
you know, fucking ugly Matilda. Who
you never heard of? Did you? Did you? Did anyone hear of ugly Matilda? No, exactly.
Nope. We're breaking the story live.
Real nice jerks.
That said, in Russia, St. Petersburg, in 2009, there were two guys, and I'm gonna really pronounce their names wrong, but what are they going to do? They're Russian.
Nothing.
And they're in jail.
Nothing.
Maxim Glavatsky.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Glavatskyk. And Yuri Moznov. They were both 20. And Moznov had a 16-year-old girlfriend, Karina Barduchin. And she was, like, super cute. And then, for some reason, they got, quote, fed up with her. And rather than break up with her or tell her to go home because she was 16 in an apartment with two 20-year-olds, they drowned her in the bathtub, cut her up with a meat cleaver, and cooked her with potatoes, onions, and seasoning.
Oh.
Now, Glavatskyk, who had been a butcher, and Moznov, who was a florist, straight up ate her.
Oh, God.
And the parts that they didn't eat, they cut up and they discarded it throughout the city and the countryside. These are 20-year-olds that just got fucking bored and mad.
Right.
They literally told the cops after they got caught, they did it because they were drunk and hungry.
Oh my God.
That's Russia. That's, well,
once again, Russia, you have no class.
No. And also, you need better restaurants.
Yeah, clearly.
I mean, we could have a whole... We could... You know, Russia is like the cannibalist country of all, of them all.
Right.
I have a bunch more Russia stories.
That oh, God. Well, so we talked about Hannibal before a little bit.
Yeah.
So, he's such a charming cannibal. Like, I won't, like, say any spoilers from the show in case people want to watch it and they haven't watched, but just generally speaking, one of my favorite things about the show is how he would eat people that he thought were rude. Like, if you saw someone being really rude, you were like, oh, yeah, he's going to eat you. Sorry, rude person. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't. Yeah. He wasn't like an I got bored so I killed my girlfriend and ate her for fun. He was like, oh, I was at a, you know, whatever. I was at a gallery viewing and I saw a young lady being rude to her mother. So I killed and ate her because she was a fucking rude bitch instead of being so classy.
He was like Cannibal Batman, but for social faux pas.
Sure, on a certain level. Well, like, there were just a few. There were just a few great scenes where, like, somebody would do something, and you could just, and then he'd like look at them, and you'd be like, "Oh, you fucked up, buddy."
Yeah.
That was not. You're in trouble. Sorry. Oy. Oy, oy, oy.
Well, I've got two more for you.
All right.
And that's it. And then we're out of here because all one right. of them I can't even fucking deal with.
Oh God. So
this was the in the things Jen should never do.
Right.
That was the never be the girlfriend of drunk, hungry Russians.
There you go.
This one is, I don't know how this is going to apply to you. You'll have to tell me.
All right, I'm ready.
But on May 18th, 1975, five-year-old Jason Foreman was playing with his brother and a friend in a park near their home in South Kingston, Rhode Island. At some point...
Oh, that's close to me.
Jason decided to leave and was walking home.
Wait, how old was he? Sorry.
He's five.
Okay.
So this is olden times when right. five-year-olds could walk home. Right. And when people said, no, that was a terrible idea, people would say, oh, what's going to happen? Well, here's what's going to happen.
You're going to find out.
Yeah. The kid never came home.
Oh, okay.
Big surprise.
Big surprise because this is a strangeful thing. So.
Now, on April 15th, 1982.
Oh, God.
17. Later, this guy who lived down the street from the Foremans, then 24-year-old Michael Woodmansey, tried to strangle the 14-year-old paperboy that he lured into his house.
Oh, okay.
So the cautionary tale here is, whatever method of murder you're going to choose, make sure you can actually do it before you try to do it.
So did he murder the five-year-old, and then he tried to murder a 17-year-old, and that didn't work?
Well, he tried to kill the 14-year-old.
Oh, sorry, 14-year-old.
So the cops were like, well, the paperboy went home and told his father. And then obviously. In a great kind of secondary to the story, the father went to the guy's house and punched him.
Of course he did, which is fantastic.
Like, but how does it get to, like... You tried to strangle my... Like, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he... Like, it didn't fully. Maybe it didn't fully register that he was actually trying to kill his kid. Like, yeah, maybe he didn't think that was the end game.
Quit strangling my boy!
Yeah.
So, they... when the cops got involved...
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason the cops got involved was because the fucking guy punched him.
Right. Not for the strangling.
16... No, it was the punching.
Okay.
When he was 16, he had killed little Jason, the 5-year-old, by stabbing him in the heart.
Oh, my God.
Now get this. The kid was 16. Just keep this in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So they searched his room, because now he's 24.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Kept the kid's bones as souvenirs.
Stop it.
After he killed him, he chopped them all up, boiled all the meat off of them, and polished his fucking bones. And they found a journal in his room that apparently his... And this is, I guess, your cautionary tale. If someone says, don't read my diary, fucking read it.
Oh, my God.
In his journal, it described the killing and details about him eating the five-year-old. Who, he said, no, that was just fiction, man. And the cops were like, nope, yeah. We don't believe you at all.
What are these bones, buddy?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So I guess the cautionary tale there is, if you're babysitting a five-year-old who then says, I'm just going to walk home, don't let them.
Walk, maybe accompany them.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
That would be a good
one. And be at least 14, because that's the age at which the guy can't strangle you, I guess.
Yeah. Or perhaps. Be especially thick-necked.
Yes. Get one of your thick-necked friends to walk the child home.
And then the last one, my last little
bit of disturbingness.
This is the worst one because I don't even know. I don't even fucking know. All right. So, and remember, I said this is a recent case. I told you I was going to bring us back to the present.
Yeah.
So. You know what? No, I have another... fuck. You know what? I'm going to have to do the other story when we do cults. So, sorry. I'm going to do this one and then we're out. Because the other one is just more fucked up and I'm going to do... Oh, man.
Okay, but wait. So, is this the one you were going to say?
I got too much to tell.
All right. So, just pick something and tell me it.
I'm picking. I'm going to pick you this one. And then the other one, which is probably more horrible, is going to be saved for... a later episode, which is not even the one that I told you about before, which was about another later episode.
Oh,
so now we have
like seven stories
episode,
oh my God.
And another one for a lynching episode. Like,
oh God damn it. Come on.
Man, I should have just talked about Westworld. All right. So Kimberly Hill lived in Corpus Christi, Texas. And she had an 18-year-old son named Kevin Davis. Kevin Davis later described himself when asked if there was something that would precipitate what happened. He said, absolutely nothing. I'm just a terrible, disgusting person.
Oh, God. Okay.
Aww. So... he was just doing whatever, and she was just doing whatever. And in their apartment in Corpus Christi, he decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to strangle you with this cord. And
his mom.
Apparently, yes, his mom. Apparently, strangling is really difficult because he couldn't do that.
God.
He failed strangling.
Failed at strangling.
Right.
Okay.
Now. When Woodman C tried to strangle the paperboy got away and told his father.
Right. Maybe strangling's not the best thing to do.
No, it's a terrible idea. Unfortunately, I wish that Kimberly Hill could have gone and told somebody that her son tried to strangle her, but instead, he just got a fucking hammer and cracked
her head
in.
Oh, Jesus. Wonderful.
Then, even though he had cracked open her head with a hammer,
yeah.
He was not sure she was dead.
Oh, God.
Now, I want you to think right now about... Look at your hand.
Yeah.
Okay?
My hand, yep. I'm looking at it.
Think of all the gross places you've put that hand from time to time.
I only put my hands in rose water and...
Yeah, well...
air.
Okay. And beautiful gloves.
That's
made
right.
Of dandelion pufflers.
Yes. Okay.
He put his hand inside her head to smush up her brains to make sure she was dead.
Oh my god, like to scramble them more?
Yes.
Oh my god. Oh, come on.
And then he was still not convinced that she was dead, so he stuck a knife in her head and mixed them up more.
Oh my god.
And he got to this list because then
he ate the brains.
Brains taste like putty.
Okay. Let me tell you something. This is a cautionary tale of one specific thing, and that thing is having children. Don't do it.
You know what? You're right.
They'll scramble your brains.
Every single person in our story at one point was a child.
That's right. So, everybody stop it.
There's your answer.
No more kids.
We've
solved it.
You hit on something there.
I know.
And, well, you know, as a little aside, it's funny that you said that, because 24-year-old Li Zhenghua, in China, she had been living on the streets for several weeks. Her mother had kicked her out, and so she was pregnant, and she didn't know what to do. They found her right after she gave birth, chewing on her newborn son's arm.
Because
the nurse
she was
found her with her teeth locked around the baby's wrist. The hospital staff were eventually able to pry the woman's mouth open and rescue the little boy, but not before he sustained heavy bruising and bleeding.
What? Why?
So, well, because she heard your thing, but it was a little too late.
She was too late. She was like, I'll just eat it then. I'll just eat the baby.
Yeah. Yep. It's my way of putting it back where I found it.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Well, I wasn't even... That was just an aside, because you said the thing about the kids. Like, I'm ready. I got cannibals coming out of my fucking ears. So,
Well, you have 27 seconds.
All right, well, at the end, the Kevin Davis thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the worst part of everything, but the one thing he did right at the end, after he had killed his mother and mushed up her brains, it occurred to him that he was probably going to go to jail, and he didn't want to go to jail a virgin.
Oh, come on. No, stop it. Stop it.
So...
Stop it.
Stuck it in his dead mom whose brains he mushed up.
Okay. Well, like I said, don't have kids.
And then
I can't.
Then he left the apartment and ran down the street, but then he got tired. So he went to the first house that he knew somebody was home, and he rang the doorbell. And when they answered, he said, call 911. I've just murdered somebody.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And he said, and he basically said in a refreshing turn, no, I'm not crazy. I just had fantasies about having sex with dead bodies. He was found out not to be crazy, and he was sentenced to life in prison. For smooshing up his mom's brains after hitting her with a hammer, then having sex with a corpse.
I can't.
Hoo-ah! That doesn't even, I didn't even get to the story about the guy. They said, hey, what's going in that hotel room? They opened the door and the guy was eating a woman's face.
Oh my God.
The guy who fell asleep on a bus in Canada and the guy sitting next to him cut off his head and started eating him.
Oh, I remember that. I fucking remember that. That was weird as shit. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh my God. How about the multiple hashtag Florida Man episodes of people on bath salts eating people's faces?
Giddy up.
So don't go to Florida. Don't have kids. Don't ride buses. Don't go out in public. Don't be friends with anybody.
Yeah. Oh
my God. Don't go to Russia, definitely. Don't go in the woods. Don't talk to anybody about their stamps. Don't help anyone. Basically, go into a corner in your house and brick yourself in and stay there.
Yep, and rock back and forth.
That's right. You can bring a cat or a dog.
Yep.
No humans.
Ugh.
All right.
I didn't even get to the guy in Slovakia who had the weirdly hot wife who lured people into his house and stuck them in his fridge and ate them at his leisure.
That was human meat.
Exactly.
All right, we're out of time. I tried to play us off twice. I'm doing it again. We're out. Thank you for this incredibly disturbing two-part episode.
You know what?
Of a horror show.
I want everybody to eat up.
Oh, my God. Shut up.
Hey, I try. I try to make these shows informative, and I try to make them...
Horrifying?
Horrifying. That was the word I was looking for. And I mean, no, helpful. Helpful was what I meant.
Okay. We're all done.
These were helpful.
We're all done.